Greetings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to each one. God's blessings to you. Let's stand to our feet for a prayer if we could. I feel very needy. Father in heaven, thank you for this gathering. Thank you that your Spirit is here. Thank you that you have an interest in every life and you have a jealous care over your body, your bride, Father. Lord, I pray that we can be that bride that's pure and spotless, clothed in garments that are free from wrinkle or any such thing, Lord. Father, just pray that you would bless this next few minutes as we look into your word and seek to understand and apply it to our lives. Be with my trembling tongue. Help me to speak clearly. And I just pray that you would bless this time and give understanding. Lord, I struggle to know how to give the right balance and to, Lord, any truth, if it's taken to extreme, it seems to become heresy. So I just pray that you'd help us to have right understanding. I pray that the things I say wouldn't cause unprofitable talk, Lord, but it could just bring health. It could bring edification. It could bring peace to your body, Lord, and we could just learn how to function together even with differences, Father. Lord, help us to have hearts that appreciate another brother, Lord, one that's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, one that desires to walk with God, that we will be able to appreciate and receive one another in the Lord, Father. Father, just help us to have right understanding. Lord, keep us from deception. Lord, keep us from the deception of our own flesh. Lord, that's so easy to justify things and personal will and those things, Father. Lord, help us to have right understanding, we pray. Bless the brothers and sisters in Turkey, those in Crossville this morning. Father, those at Poplar Hill, may your people everywhere be edified and built up today. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. In his name we pray, amen. You can be seated. You can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. What's the portion we're ready for as we've been going through Romans? Romans chapter 14. The title I gave it as I was pondering the verses here, I decided to title it Receiving One Another with Differences. So let's hope that encapsulates what we want to look at this morning. And if we read the first verse here in Romans 14, to me, I felt like the thought went a little bit into chapter 15. So we'll try to cover that whole portion if we can. So notice the first verse here says, Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. And then chapter 15, verse 1 says, We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It seems to me the thought continues on here right through a chapter division. It seems to me the thought ends in verse 7 of chapter 15. Verse 7 says, Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So I think we'll try to look at that portion there. And we'll just see how it goes. Some of these things I could see myself just say my thoughts and it wouldn't take long, but if we belabored it, it could take a long time to go through there. So I'll try to strike a balance there as well. So as I referred to in my prayer, I've been wrestling some with this. I know that depending how I project this, it could cause a lot of stirring. All this has to be balanced. I believe, brothers and sisters, there's a place for brotherhood to make practical decisions and say, we're going to do it this way and expect our brothers and sisters to cooperate with that. I think there's a place for brotherhood application. But yet, in this here, we see that even with brotherhood application, there is going to be differences. We have differences here among us. There's honestly differences in how we look at the regulations that we have here with us. And, you know, all churches are facing that. You know, some have a more sensitive conscience than others. There's differences on how we view things like Christmas. There's differences. There's many such differences that we can have, and depending where we come from and depending how we look at things, we come out of different places, and it's just how it is. There's many other things we could look at. You know, how technical we are on obeying speed limits. You know, not a mile over. Others say, think that 5 miles is, you know, is kind of expected and acceptable. There's differences like that. You know, viewing things that had to do with certain holidays, Halloween, you know, and, you know, sensitivities as far as do we eat anything that has any stamp of Halloween on it? Do we is it right to sell pumpkins that are going to be used for Halloween? Those things like that. You know, it can cause differences in the church. And how do we relate through those things? Who gives to who in those things? And I think that's some of the things that this chapter deals with, dealing with some of those real differences that comes up. And what can happen when these differences come up is instead of seeking to edify my brother and to appreciate, this brother has these convictions because he loves God. He wants to live a holy life to God. And we can begin to focus on those differences and despise our brother. Or we can begin to judge one that doesn't have those same convictions. And there can be a judging and despising happen in the body of Christ. That's what we see here in this chapter. The application of this passage is to be Christ-like. The more spiritual needs to lay down his life, his preferences for the weaker. Or maybe we shouldn't even say more spiritual. We're all called to lay down our lives for the brethren. So that's just maybe a little bit of introduction, and maybe I didn't do it all right. I struggled to know how to project all this morning, so God help us. Receiving one another with differences. I thought of the story of Abraham and Lot. And Abraham's just his willingness to defer to Lot. You know, God had promised Abraham the whole land of Canaan there. And then the time comes when their particular area wasn't big enough. Abraham was so unselfish. And if we can just have the attitude of Abraham, we're willing to defer. We're willing to lay down a preference. You know, if it's a conviction, that makes it more difficult. And maybe the others should be sensitive to me in that, if I have a conviction. But Abraham was willing to defer to Lot. He says, Lot, God gave me this whole land, but you pick whichever you would prefer. Abraham didn't grasp. He didn't hang on to his rights. He was willing to defer to the other. So God give us that kind of sacrificial love. That'll go a long ways in this. Okay, so we'll just try to go through here and try to hit the high points and try not to belabor it. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. You know, this thing of doubtful disputations, some Bibles give the idea of not to argue over differences of opinions. We can hear, oh, this person, he keeps the Sabbath, and we saddle up to him with intent to debate over the Sabbath. You know, that's not the right attitude we should have. It's not to criticize him, not to go up to him, but to receive him, not to criticize him, not to have carnal motives and pick someone apart. I believe in the body, in the church at times, it can be almost be like that, the poor rooster that Mark talked about. You know, the one that always gets picked on, and the weak one, the one that should be encouraged, the one that should be blessed, the one that should be protected, is the one that gets picked apart. That shouldn't be in the body of Christ. And we all just go and pick on the weak one. No, in the church, the weak one should be lifted up, strengthened, and protected.
For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So as I mentioned earlier, what can happen when there is differences? And the fact is, in the church, there is going to be differences. No matter how much uniformity we try to pull together, there is going to be some need to be some giving and taking. There is going to be differences. We see it here. We have different experiences. We have different things that shape our perspectives and shape our convictions. And we've had past teaching that shapes our perspectives. And we come together and we're supposed to have church. And what can happen is, I have a conviction you don't have. And I can say, I saw him doing that. I can't believe he did that. How can he be a Christian and do that? Or the other one, and there can be a judging. And then the other one thinks, you know, what? He's so careful about that. That's just ridiculous. And they're going to be despising. You see that? The one that has a conviction may be tempted to judge. The one that doesn't have the conviction may be tempted to despise the brother. See that? The one that doesn't have it can tend to look, it's just ridiculous, and despise. God wants us to draw together. God wants us to love. God wants us to appreciate. You know, that brother, he really does have a heart to serve God, even though he doesn't see it my way. I can see he loves the Lord. And this brother here, you know, he has that conviction because he just wants to make sure he pleases God with his life. And that's the heart we should have, and to be able to receive one another with our differences. For God receives him. For God receives him, it says here in the verse 3, don't despise, don't judge, because God received him. And if God received him, I should receive him. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And this thing of another man's servant, would it be right for me to just be spying on Dutchman's all the time? I don't work there anymore. You know, I'd be seeing, I wonder how good Pierre's working. You know, I wonder how good Glenn's working. And I wonder if they're really carrying out Tim's wishes down there. And I'm always criticizing and stopping there and just trying to figure out, you know, how Temple Pond's doing and asking questions and getting emotionally involved with another man's servant. You know, I have no business doing that. I should be making sure that I'm working good for Philip. I should make sure that I'm being a good employee and a good co-worker there at the butcher shop. I have no business in spying in on another man's servant. And there's a sense in which we are our brother's keeper. There is. And here again, there comes this proper balance, you know, that I struggle to know how to walk. There is things that we need to speak into the other's lives about. If a brother sins, we should, in love, go address that. But there's some of these things that have to do with the category of meats and drinks and days and things that we do well to just not make too big an issue about. Does that make sense? And to realize this man is God's servant, Dutchman's servant. This man is God's servant. I'll pray for him. This concerns me, but I'll pray for him. It's not I don't see it as a sin that, you know, that's in that category that I need to go address. I'll pray for him. God is his master. God receives him, and God can look after that. I'll just pray for him. Does that make sense? There's a place for both. And I believe if we understand this properly, another man's servants, it can bring a measure of rest to us. Realize, I'm not responsible for every jot and tittle in everyone else's life. They're God's servant. God is responsible for some of those things. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Excuse me. Just give me a moment here to catch up. So again here, ever since the New Testament church, it seems like this whole thing of eating and drinking, what's proper food, dietary laws, vegetarianism, days of worship has been a controversial thing, and even to this day, it seems like it has been. Here I get the impression that if someone truly loves the Lord and they feel like they need to esteem a certain day, that I don't have to go and criticize them for that. I don't have to go and try to straighten that out. Let him be fully persuaded in his own mind. I should make sure he's walking with God. I should make sure he loves Jesus. I should make sure that he has peace in his heart, that he's living a holy life. That's the important things. And some of these days, he can be fully persuaded in his own mind, and that's fine. That's between him and God. He lives for himself. He lives not for himself, but for the Lord. Verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He's the Lord. I'm not. I'm his servant. This brother's his servant. I should make sure my life is pleasing to God. And living, I don't have to always be critiquing every detail. Verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? What's it mean to set one at naught? Anyone know? Lightly esteem, what was that? To be in opposition with, was there something else? Make look foolish, something else? Same word as despise in the Greek? Okay. Yeah, it's just to lightly esteem, but you know, Pilate, I think it said that he set Jesus at naught, just like they mocked him. And you know, when these differences come up, brothers, there is a real thing where we think, why make such a big deal out of something? And we can lightly esteem someone whom God has received, set him at naught. The Amplified says, look down upon or despise your brother. Brother, we should not do that. It should not be. We should not live like chickens and just go pick a brother apart and just torment and be against. Rather, we should seek to appreciate and protect in the body of Christ. Amen? Why dost thou do that? For we shall all, verse 10, the last part, why do you criticize and despise your brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If we can keep that in perspective, realize my brother will, I will, everyone will have to answer to God. There's a certain place where he's our master, and we answer to him. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So I see all this here, this argument here, going on in the light that this man, this brother, is God's servant. I can let God take care of some of these more lesser matters and make sure my attitude is right towards my brother and make sure I'm in line with God. Does that make sense? So what do we judge? We're not to judge our brother. We're not to despise our brother. We're not to set him at naught. Whether we're on the less conscient side or the more conscient side, we shouldn't be judging or despising. But what should we judge? Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. There is something we are to judge, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So what I see in that is, instead of being critical of my brother, I should be critical of myself. Make sure that I'm not doing anything to trip him up. Making sure I'm not doing anything that gives him occasion to be offended or fall. That makes sense? The burden of this should be on me. I should be critical, more critical of myself than anyone else. I need to judge myself. Am I doing anything that causes him to be offended or fall or make weak? And in this thing, brothers, what I see here in Paul's writings here, and also in, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 8, he deals with some of the same thing, is that we can make too light of some of these things that a brother may have a conscience with. We can despise him, and we can push him. Paul says, if we push a brother to do something he has a conscience against, we're causing him to sin. Paul didn't view that lightly. I think we view that sometimes too lightly. And he goes on to say that here in verse 14. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If he has a conscience with it and it goes ahead, it is unclean to him. Verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let's turn over there to 1 Corinthians 8. It's not very long. Maybe we'll just go ahead and read it. Maybe not make a lot of comments on it. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and if any man think him that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So head knowledge isn't enough. But if a man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things which are offered as sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So here again, we're looking at this in light of another man's conscience. His brother has a conscience against that. You don't. And if you push him, you're responsible for causing him to sin. And Paul addresses that at least twice in the Scriptures. And I'm bringing this out in light of that. We can kind of scoff at it, think, it's not a big deal. It's ridiculous to be so nitpicky. And we can actually push a brother into something that he's not ready for. And actually is sin. It condemns his conscience. And yes, we'll read on. For though there be, verse 5, that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor neither if we eat not are we the worse. So Paul's not necessarily here giving a teaching on it's okay to eat meat offered to idols. His purpose is to be sensitive to your brother, right? He's not teaching us here that it's okay if y'all go and eat idols. He's saying, no, be careful with this thing. This is a touchy issue. You can actually offend someone for whom Christ died. You don't need to eat that. He's basically saying you don't have to eat that. If you don't eat, you're not any worse off for not eating that. His take heed, verse 9, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in an idol's temple, show not the conscience of him that is weak, be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols. And through thy knowledge, look at this, strong words, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. And I don't know what I get confused with this whole thing of meat offered to idols. In Revelation, that's one of the things that Christ had against them, right? They were eating meat offered to idols. And it seems like it was a touchy issue in the early church. And just think about how it could be. You know, you were walking through town and here you see, well, there's Brother Mark. He's sitting there in the idol's temple eating meat. And just, you know, what that could do in a church. You know, just Brother Mark's, he's there with those idolatrous people. And just, you know, how that could just throw one for a loop. You know, is that really right? You know, and just, yeah. And Verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. And look at Paul's commitment. And here again, you see this selflessness. You know, you see the heart of Abraham there with Lot. Wherefore, if meat, and you can put whatever you want in that blank there. If meat make my brother to offend, something that I had no issue doing that caused a struggle for a brother, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So here I see in this chapter, brothers, and the one in chapter 14, the burden on us. It's not leverage for me to defend my preference, but it's a call for me to lay down a liberty for the sake of my brother. You see the difference? I've recently come to understand that I think that some today use this as leverage to justify their position. You know, I don't have a conviction with that. You should accept me with this. And maybe it's a little fleshly. Maybe it's something that the Scripture doesn't forbid, but yet it's a thing that overall there's a concern about that. And I use this chapter to defend my rights. You can't touch that. The Scripture doesn't forbid that. You should look at me through Romans 14. You know what I'm saying? I don't see it that way. I see it rather as I need to be willing to be like Abraham and lay down what I have a right to for the sake of my brother. It's a thing of sacrificial love. It's a thing of charity. It's a thing of giving up, laying down my life for the brethren. And you can see that also in chapter 15. It says, we then that are strong, verse 1, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor, not myself. Please his neighbor. Do what blesses my brother for his good to edification. For even, the towering example was Christ. You know, Brother Leroy read that this morning. Jesus stepped down. He gave up. He sacrificed. He set aside his rights, and he ministered. For even as Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So the call is to be like Jesus, to humble ourselves, lay down our preferences, and serve a brother. Set aside our liberties. Okay, I think we're ready for verse 16, back in chapter 14, Romans 14. Okay, let me catch up with myself here. I have notes, but when I go verse by verse, I almost sometimes don't use my notes very much, and I get behind on that, and it can be a little bit of jumping back and forth. So just give me a moment here. Verse 16 says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. What does that verse mean? Let not your good then be evil spoken of. Verse 22 says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. What I thought about in that verse is there may be some things that are not wrong for you to do. You're one of those that has that liberty. But make sure you don't live your life that some young Christian, quote, comes home from market and says, I saw brother so-and-so in there in the idol's temple eating meat offered to idols. I just can't believe brother so-and-so would do that. You know, it's just, how could he do that? We shouldn't live our lives in a way that our good is evil spoken of. That's kind of what I saw in that. We should, as much as possible, live in such a way that nothing we do is considered evil. And that goes with being sensitive, realizing where the brotherhood has a conscience with, realizing where some brothers have a conscience issue with it, with this, and make sure that I don't just, in my liberties, just blaze ahead and offend brothers. That I live in a gracious, understanding, caring way, and I love my brothers, and I don't want to offend them. That should be our heart. We should seek to, in all we do, leave a testimony of godliness. That all, that the brothers in the church, that the neighbors around us see our lives as living upright. You know, maybe a godly life. The choices he makes as a whole, all view that person as living a godly, exemplary life that nothing is given occasion to speak against. Another example might be maybe you don't view yourself as keeping the Sabbath by worshiping on Sunday. But you know, if you would go out there and rake hay on Sunday, you know, it wouldn't be a good testimony in the community. So we just don't do those things like that. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Okay. Verse 17. For, in light of what we looked at before, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. I love this here. You know, we can get so caught up in the nitpicky issues and debating about days and eschatology, and maybe there's some place for some healthy debate. I'm not saying all that, but I think we need to be careful. We can get all caught up in attacking someone for having a certain position and miss what church is really about. Amen? Man, what is it about? It says here, it's not meat and drink, and you know, you can add to that list. There's many things that fall in that meat and drink category. But it is, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. Brothers and sisters, I believe the bulk of our discussions here at church and when we meet one another should center around these things. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 19 says, let us follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. You know, if you see a weak chicken, if I can use that word, don't go picking on it. Try to protect it. Try to minister to it. Try to build it up and to not destroy it. And some of these things, maybe the weak one is us and we think it's someone else. Maybe the one with the conscience is a strong one. Maybe we need to gain more conviction ourselves in some things. Righteousness, being washed in the blood, being born again, holy living. Those are good things to talk about when we're together. Righteousness, being washed in the blood, being born again, holy, righteous living. Peace, peace in the heart, peace in our homes. Peace in our brotherhoods. Those are good things to talk about. Peace. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Rejoicing in the goodness of God. A good report. Brother Dale. Worshiping God together in the Spirit. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are good things that our discussion should center around. Things that make for peace. Things wherewith one may edify another. And honestly, it says, he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So, you know, maybe if we don't see it all eye to eye, you know, maybe if someone has a particular conviction in a particular area, maybe if someone is a vegetarian, it says here, if he's pursuing righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, God accepts him. And we should too. We should nitpick him on those things. And other things too. Debate and contention is not of God. Rather, it's of the flesh. Let us follow after the things that make for peace, brethren. The things wherewith one may edify another. There is times to address things. I'll say it again. There is those times. There is times to In humility and love, bring an issue to a brother. There is times for that. But debate and contention is not of God. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, it says, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men If you love debate in a fleshly way, it's not right. It's not right. If it's not a big deal, don't make it a big deal. It says here, verse 20, for me, destroy not the work of God. For something as petty as me, don't destroy the work of God. Don't make a big issue out of things that are not big issues. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is neither good to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So here again, you see the idea of deferring liberties for a brother. Not, you realize that's an issue with him. I'm just going to sacrifice. I'm going to be like Abraham and just let, and be willing to let go. I don't want to offend my brother. I love my brother. I want to see him prosper. I don't want to give him occasion to be offended. See that different? That's so different than pushing my rights. It's the complete opposite idea of defending my liberties. It's the attitude of willing to lay it down. It's, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice so he can prosper. It's good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. And the last part of verse 22 and 23 says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, or condemned, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I believe we need to be careful. As it said in 1 Corinthians 8 there, it says we can have knowledge. And I think sometimes, and try to get this here, something I thought about that I think we need to be careful with. I don't think we have to stress over it, but I think we need to be careful with it. We can rationalize something in our mind and justify it and plow on ahead, I believe, and then maybe our own heart will come along and condemn us. Does that make sense? And I think we need to be careful with that. I remember years ago, it was something that I made a quick decision. And then almost questioned it. You know, I justified it in my mind. I went ahead and did it. But then I had this, was that really right? And so I think we need to be careful, even in our own mind. We think, oh, we're strong. We can, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. No, there's nothing wrong with this. And we can plow on ahead, and our own heart can condemn us. I think we need to be careful about taking liberties too quickly, lest we come into condemnation. Does that make sense? Because it says here, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay, we covered a little bit in chapter 15 already. Let's just go ahead and read down through there because the thought flows right on through, I believe. So again, just I hope you can really see this in its right application. The right application is application of sacrifice. It's the application of me laying down my life for my brother. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. This whole thing is not a license for liberties for my flesh. You see that? It's not a license for liberties for the flesh. It's a call to not please ourselves. It's a call to bear with the weak brother. Let every one of us please his who? Neighbor, not himself. For his good, to edification. Do what blesses and edifies your brother. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, to live together in an understanding way. Try to understand your brother. Hear why he feels the way he feels. Have a hearing of one another, working together, and draw towards like-mindedness. And the goal is, verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth. The goal is unity. Amen? Not just to be a bunch of different people, but to work together, to have a heart to understand, to draw together, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And that's where we'll stop today. So again, it's the idea of receiving one another in spite of differences, and not have the idea of judging a brother if he may not see it quite like me, or the idea of despising a brother and setting him at naught for being nitpicky about things, but to seek to, in the Spirit of Christ, to have love and acceptance, realizing that this brother believes the way he does because he wants to please God. Amen? If we can see that kind of heart and appreciate that kind of heart and receive one another and try to understand, try to work towards coming together in unity, I believe God will be glorified.